Hi, I'm Hungrybox, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 81 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, November 8th, 2017. The time, 8:26 Central Standard Time. In whatever one it gets darker earlier. Is that daylight savings?
Sure.
Daylight.
I'm only an adult. I'm not a farmer. It doesn't really affect my life as much.
There you go. We'll just go.
Those voices you heard, though, those are my colleagues, my best friends, my lovers. You have Brett. Brett, hello. Say hello.
What's up, family?
You have Anuj. Anuj, hello.
Hey, bud. How are you?
I'm good. And, of course, I'm Tim. If I didn't mention that. And we are TCR. Follow us on all social media. Most importantly, Twitter, @TheCenterRing, our website, tcr.gg. Let us know how we're doing on the show, how it sounds. It's always a work in progress with us, right? It's not perfect, but it's getting there. We do have the greatest episode ever for you today, though. We worked really hard on it, so I hope you enjoy it. We will end the show with e-news, like always. Just a montage of news stories that maybe there's just not a whole lot to say. Maybe we ran out of time. So we'll throw those at e-news at the end of the show. We have a special little clutch or kick segment for those who are new to the show. That's kind of a little game show we like to play where we just read stories that, are they worth keeping an eye on? Are they going to clutch the round and stay into our news, or are we going to kick them? But most importantly, coming up here though, right now to start the show, this past weekend was BlizzCon, and Blizzard has done this neat little trick in the last couple of years where they've basically turned all of BlizzCon into like Blizzard World Championship. Like anything Blizzard related, you're going to have that tournament at BlizzCon. So I kind of want to go down. I'm not going to talk about all these, right? Let's be honest. I didn't really watch StarCraft 2. Didn't really watch Hearthstone. But it's worth mentioning. It's all part of the deal. And then we'll get into some Overwatch World Cup. Because that's what we all are here for anyways.
The main show.
The main squeeze. So it's StarCraft 2. Also, one thing to bring up in all of this. You had at BlizzCon basically was Korea's playground. Like Korea literally won in almost every game. So that's spoiler alert. They dominated.
They're good at video games.
Yeah. Koreans are good at video games. Who would have thought? So starting here with StarCraft, you had Rogue playing Zerg. He defeats, is it SOO or Sue? I'm sorry, StarCraft fans.
We'll go with it.
I'm a fake esports podcast host. They defeated him 4-2, the only American actually in this tournament, which was number one seed going in. He was Neeb, played Protoss, and he tied for 9th or 12th. So he didn't really do too good. But to be fair, okay, before people are like, oh, okay, well, go figure, NA StarCraft 2, he was in the, like, he didn't even make it out of groups, but in his groups was SOO and Rogue. So his group was pretty stacked. The fact that you had the number one seed with the two dudes who were in the grand finals plus the winner. So I'll
looks like second place Korean as well.
Yes. Oh yeah. That was a Korean grand finals. Like I said, they were everywhere. They were,
it's a victory. Victory for the country of South Korea.
Yes.
Good job, South Korea.
Congratulations. Then you have in Hearthstone. Hearthstone did a neat little format here. You see it once in a blue moon where it's a 3v3 tournament. So they actually do like a team format, right?
I wish I watched that. I want to see how that's done.
So basically, and this is what I've gathered, and again, no Hearthstone expert here, but it's like, so you have three dudes, right? Like Grimestreet, Grifters. They're the team that won. That had, like, Reynad, who is Tempo Storm, right? I mean, he's basically the owner of... I think he's the owner of Tempo Storm, is he not?
I think sure. I can't fact check you on that.
Per sources, he is the owner of Tempo Storm. If not, he's basically the organization in a whole. But so he was on a team with Pathra and Fitches? I don't know, bro. Anyway, so that's how they did it. And so you can kind of work together on what to ban and what to pick to strategize. It was kind of cool. I mean, I had it on in the background. I'm not going to lie. My Hearthstone days are kind of behind me. I was really into it when it first came out. And really, like, I got really high levels. And then it was, like, one season I was gone. I think I was, like, on vacation for, like, 2 weeks. And then after that, it was just once I got behind the meta. And once you get behind the meta and start Hearthstone, it's just...
Dude, imagine it how it was for me. I tried to play it just starting, like, less than a year ago. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Dude, and that...
This is not happening. To Gwent, actually.
Yeah, which is an awesome... I love Gwent. We haven't played Gwent in a while. We should.
We haven't. We need to do that.
Yeah, we should.
For good things.
Let's make a date. So, no, that's been everyone's complaint, right? Is like how the longevity of Hearthstone is going to last, especially like on the competitive side of it, because the meta is so difficult to A, catch up, or...
The RNG.
The RNG, but that's with any real card game. I think people who play card games have accepted the RNG, right?
I mean, that's like any card game.
Right, but that's just part of it. You accept the RNG. The issue with... The issue with Hearthstone, and they've kind of combated it with recent, you know, like seasons where they allow certain decks or cards, whatever. But that's always a complaint, right? It's difficult to get into Hearthstone because of the learning curve and catching up to meta. But that's neither here nor there. So they ended up going there. And Heroes of the Storm. This one, it fascinates me just because, A, it's Heroes of the Storm, and I still have a soft spot for that game. But... This is another one where Korean team MVP Black defeats Fnatic 3-1 in the grand finals. In fact, 3-1, the only game that Fnatic even took was on Cursed Hollows. Now, this is the fascinating story here with MVP Black, because if people remember, way back in the beginning of the year, MVP Black, I mean, obviously still is, but they were the number one Heroes of the Storm. Getting all my Blizzard games... Heroes of the Hearthcraft.
Heroes of the Hearthstone.
Yeah. that's Blizzard's next crossover right there. No, Heroes of the Storm. MVP Black was like number one in the world, right? Still is, clearly, winning the World Championship. But there was rumors that they were going to actually stop playing. And I think they actually did for a hot minute, where they announced that they're done with Heroes of the Storm. Basically quoting that not enough tournaments. And not enough money involved. So to put as much time and dedication as it takes, they're just not seeing the return. Clearly, they didn't stick with that plan, though, considering they came back and won. Heroes of the Storm, it's basically steadied out.
I mean, it's like third tier when you compare it to like League of Legends and Dota, right? Because it's just...
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're comparing it to them, it's not
casual.
Even... Right. It's,
yeah,
I mean,
it's just a game that...
So, for example, its grand finals, I think, peaked either just at around 30,000 or just below 30,000 viewers, right? Which, again, we'll discuss it a little bit more in Clutch or Kick, because I actually wanted to get to this discussion. Like, what is successful, right? I mean, 30,000 people, that's 30,000 pair of eyes.
Good.
Yeah, of course, it's not Counter-Strike or League of Legends or Dota, but
or
not
Dota.
Every game is.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to discuss that in Clutch or Kick. So
funny, out of the three, that is my favorite to play though.
It is, right?
Yeah, and I mean I have a few friends that, you know, that other than you guys that play it. So I mean there's an appeal there.
Part of it is you're not having to buy gear, right? Like you can just go and play and play.
It's the simple man's MOBA. Like let's just call it what it is. It's
Hanzo. Hanzo's a new character coming out.
Bro,
oh man.
Don't get me started though. That kind of bothers me. If we're being honest, the fact that again, we're just kind of talking these games as we go along, and we'll get into the Overwatch World Cup a little bit more details. But the way Blizzard is handling adding new heroes, where they're basically just going down the Overwatch roster into Heroes of the Storm,
they're playing off the
They are. They're playing off the popularity, but it kind of bothers me. As someone who enjoyed Heroes of the Storm in Alpha, it's kind of like, okay.
But all Heroes of the Storm characters are, you know, from other Blizzard games,
I get it.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, they are. They're all from other Blizzard games. Yeah. I mean, they even have the Lost Vikings on there, for crying out loud. But I don't know. Maybe it's because it's like they literally are just going down the roster of Overwatch characters. It's kind of like, okay. I mean, it's whatever.
It's easy pickings for them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy for them. It is what it is. It doesn't affect my life at all. And then in World of Warcraft Arena, you had, let's see here, who won in that one? Did I not write it down? I got it right here. I just pulled it up here. ABC ended up defeating Panda Global in the Warcraft Arena, or World of Warcraft Arena. Completely not esports related, but I'm going to bring it up anyways. I'm pretty stoked for World of Warcraft vanilla servers.
Dude.
So.
I cannot wait.
And I think this is a safe place to bring it up because I think anyone has played WoW before and can appreciate it.
Look, if you played an MMO and you're anywhere near our age, WoW was probably one of the first ones on EverQuest or WoW. It's got to be one of the two.
At least that you got hooked into, right?
Oh, yeah.
And if they bring back the PvP from Classic WoW, I'm not saying it's going to be like the next big esport. But I definitely think if they bring back, like, original Arena and original PvP, you could actually get some, like, really fun Arathi Basin, Warsong Gulch, like, esports viewing going on. Am I wrong here, Anuj? I know Brett never really played WoW, but...
Yeah, I never really got into WoW. I was more so, like, other MMOs, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, those would be easier to watch, I think, sometimes than even the arenas are, right? The arenas, the 3v3, the 5v5, right now, there's so much going on
in a small space. They can get chaotic.
It's hard to watch, right? And so I think, yeah, I mean, if they brought it back old school, can you imagine, though? Like, you could never do Altric Valley. It'd be like an 8-hour match.
No,
on TV.
No, not. Yeah, don't do AV. I'm talking Arathi Basin.
But yeah,
keep
like
it to Warsong
Basin
Gold.
And some of those. Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun. And
it's a dream. It's a dream.
It'd be fun for us to go back.
Let me relive my youth while playing Classic WoW, while watching Classic PvP.
Relive my youth, says the 26-year-old.
Yeah, you know, like, the upgrades, right? Like, don't make it, like, too vanilla, but, like, really close.
There needs
to
be a nice blend, right?
Yeah.
Maybe some French
vanilla. I think
they'll
do that.
Vanilla bean.
I have faith in them.
Nah, yeah, me too. Now, though, into what clearly has taken priority at BlizzCon and in the Blizzard office, Overwatch. All right, this was basically front and center for them, for obvious reasons, right? You have the Overwatch League coming up. This was a huge showcase on, A, the players. Most of them in the World Cup are playing in the league. And also...
great way to publicize it.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, just
a
to
huge
show,
event
like,
already.
Hey, this is it. And thank God it really went without a hitch, right? It was, from what I can tell, pretty flawless presentation, right?
Go ahead, Noosh.
I was going to say, just BlizzCon in general, they do such a good job of production, and then the announcements that they made outside of even Overwatch, the hype was already so, I think people were just on a high over there. So what a great thing for Overwatch to walk into, like, a good natural mood. You know, people are happy about a lot of the announcements that were made, and then Overwatch so well itself.
Yeah. I mean, it started off hot. Like, it started off with 220,000 viewers, and I mean, there was so much hype. One, like you said, Tim, around the players, but also the production value, because something new. We're actually seeing home and away kits. Like, that's exciting. And, you know, more
really
to
cool.
Richard Lewis's point in the video that he made, you know, how it's, you know, hard to watch with, you know, the same color bullets going back and forth. You saw different color bullets. So you knew what team those bullets were coming from and those abilities were coming from. So, from a viewership standpoint, it's user friendly and it's entertaining. It was so entertaining. I enjoyed the heck out of it. I watched every match.
It got me super hyped, and I know I was kind of a negative Nancy going into it because last year's World Cup was so uneventful and it wasn't entertaining to watch. From the production value alone, right? Like it's night and day from last year's World Cup to now. Okay.
Obviously, yeah, it's 100% Alchemist, right?
Clearly.
It didn't feel like a cluster. It just didn't feel like a cluster. You knew what you were watching, and you knew what team you were watching, because in the original Overwatch, you know, leagues and tournaments, they weren't allowed to use different skins, right? They all used the same skin, so they looked similar. They looked the same, and it was really hard to watch. But this, like, did y'all have a hard time deciphering, you know, in a big team fight, who was fighting who, or you know, did you have
no,
a hard time?
I really didn't. Now, to be fair, I was not one that really had an issue following it beforehand. I was. Yeah, like, I was gonna say I was, because I play Overwatch a lot, and I know a Nuge you don't. So I mean, the opinion would be more so from a Nuge, right?
Yeah, like I thought this was exactly what I wanted to see, and honestly, I loved it so much. I want to see this in like other esports. Imagine Counter-Strike wearing your home and away kit for each like team. I think that's such a cool concept that I'm surprised nobody has really done before. I don't know how many games could really do it.
Yeah,
maybe,
I mean,
but
Counter-Strike,
I
you can't,
like,
because could you imagine like Cloud9 running around a map with blue jerseys or something like
Just even throwing their logo on there.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, there was that moment in time where the SLI ladder used to
do the gloves,
right? And you would have Cloud9
really
gloves, and I thought that was, yeah, just those little subtle things
make such a difference, right?
Well, your fandom gets to another level, right? Even like with this Overwatch, I felt like there was, well, in Dota they have flags and stuff around
the flags and stuff. Yeah. Just a cool thing.
It just immerses you.
It does. I guess that would be the best way. Like this Overwatch, this World Cup, I really felt like there was, what's the word? Country pride, right? Is that what I'm looking for? It's like I felt like, and keep in mind, USA got knocked out really early, not really to a fault of their own. It was South Korea is who they were playing. I'm not really here to complain about any of the way players approached or anything like that. But even going forward, you know, I felt like that's probably why the hype was also there, right? Because people could see the teams and be like, oh, okay, so you didn't just throw up a graphic of the Canadian flag on the stream. Like, this is legit. Blizzard took the time to make this the World Cup event.
Yeah, and they, you know, they did home and away. Like, away teams were all in white. Home teams were all in color. The only team you really ever saw a difference in color just because of the way it worked out was Canada. You got to see both of their kits, the white and the red. And it's just awesome.
Yeah.
They did such a good job. I mean, it's just not like, boom, all red. I mean, there's detail even on the guns.
The guns
like,
have the flag or the maple leaf on it.
Yeah, and they had it on their uniform too. It was so cool to watch. Like, this is the future, I hope.
And it really gets you ready for like Overwatch League, because like right after, and I know, so for those who maybe not have caught up with BlizzCon or anything like that, there was a lot of announcements for the Overwatch League, like format, all of that. We're going to get into all of that, but in a later episode, probably in between the preseason and the regular season, I want to do a full-on Overwatch League preview episode. Probably even try to make that like our first official Twitch stream, maybe, right? Like our official one.
Yeah, I mean, the hype is there. Like you said,
it
Tim.
It is,
because
they announced the jerseys.
You left this match. Yeah, I mean, you left this match. You left this tournament just wanting more. Like, you saw the teams. You saw the kits. You saw Flower. You saw, you know, Sinatra being just beast. And you're just like, man, you know, I want to watch these guys more. I'm so excited, dude. I can't wait. I'm hyped. I want my jersey.
And you see where these guys like are going, right? Like later on, like for instance, South Korea, they also won World Cup 2016. But now, and before it was like, okay, well, you're going to have South Korea, and that's basically going to be an entire team just now playing under South Korea, right? Well, now they're getting split up. You have like Flowers going to New York. One other person from
South, I think.
Who is it?
I think it's Mano.
Mano. Okay. So they're going to New York, right? You have, let's see here, Mano, Flower, and, oh my God, I don't know how to say this name, Saibai Yolbi? Sure. I don't know, man.
I didn't really hear his name.
Close enough.
Dude, I mean, some names with... in esports. We need some type of standard, like, hey. like if it's over four syllables, you can't have the name. You just can't. That's not nice. But they're literally getting split up, where half the team's going to New York, half the team's going to Seoul, right? You have, like, almost all of Sweden. Four out of the six guys on Sweden are going to Florida, right? It's that type of, it's that type of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but that's what makes this a World Cup event.
It's diverse, and that's what we wanted, right? Yeah. We didn't want to see just Team USA on one team. We didn't want to see all of Team Sweden on one team. You know, it's like the Dallas team. They have two Team Sweden players, but the rest of them are from different countries. And it's cool to see that mixed match of just people coming together to play a game. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
It's ready.
The rosters are, like, so big that they have to have a lot of diversity, right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
the rosters are quite large rosters, so it's going to be hard to even keep it country-based. But, yeah, I think it's cool to see it branching out and everyone just kind of mixing, and you're seeing some of the best players team up together. I mean, I feel like we're fortunate to have Envious right here in our backyard. We're going to have some of the best players in the world right here. So, I think this team size, you know, definitely helps with getting that diversity.
Yeah, I mean, with the league, I mean, you have support, tank, and offense mains, but you also have, like, flex players that are just flexible. They can play anything when a meta changes. So it's like, yeah, the rosters just have to be big to structure. Man, the more I talk about it, the more I want to start.
Yeah, no, I said it, I think I tweeted it out too, where it's like, my hype level is, like, full maxed out for the Overwatch League now. And the fact that we're, like, a month away from even preseason, like, I'm even getting giddy about that. I know, Brett, we were talking about, like, maybe we can make a trip to LA next year. Maybe go see a game, right? See what it's all about.
Alchemist message, like, hey, we come to LA, can we stay at your place?
So maybe, I am pumped for it. Going over here, again, I don't want to break down the matches too much, but you had South Korea beat Canada in the grand finals, 4-1. Yeah. I mean, what can you say about South Korea that hasn't been said before, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, they were just the better team.
They'll,
like,
pull a Bastion on you, and it just embarrass you.
Yeah, they'll embarrass you with players that you don't really see in normal meta. Like, Flower was playing a lot of Widowmaker. You don't see that a lot from other teams, but he's so good. And Mano is so good at being a tank and being that frontline player and protecting, you know, the backline DPS, that he was able to stay back there and just pick teams apart. It wasn't even close. I mean, I think USA gave him the best run for their money.
Yeah, they're the only team that even took two matches off of him.
Yeah, I mean, they took one map, but tied a map. But Korea, no other team beat Korea and also tied a map. Canada and France, they took one map off of South Korea, but USA was able to take a map and a tie, so go USA.
How many players from, like, the South Korean team are on that Kondongo's team or whatever that's going to Cloud9?
That's so... I mean, none of them are going to London, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah,
I think South Korea,
none of them are off of that,
no,
on that particular team.
I mean, on that, no. You have three guys going to Seoul, which is the Korean team in the Overwatch League, and then you have three going to the Excelsior, which is New York. So, I mean, none of them are really paying off to the London team.
It would be their B team, which is pretty much better than any other any other country's team, maybe other than U.S. and France. Yeah, it's insane. They got a lot of talent.
It's going to be good, man. It's I mean, like we said, for how much doubt I had going into the World Cup, it quickly turned around. You know, Blizzard even had, like, in-game, like, the homepage when you opened up Overwatch to play, they had, like, in-game advertising, basically, and you could click the link and it would take you right to the page.
They listened to us.
I was thinking this. They were probably like, you know what? TCR mentioned this, so let's let's do this.
That's right. We have some pull Blizzard.
So I am pretty pumped, man. Mm. But let's, that's enough about that. Like I said, we'll I want to talk more about Overwatch League, but I definitely want to give it its time by doing like a full-on preview, right? They announced the format. They announced jerseys, sponsorships.
A lot of
They deserve it. They deserve
a full-on preview. We'll let preseason go. I want to see how they handle the preseason and how the games work, and then we'll do a proper on Overwatch League preview. Right.
Yeah. Preseason is beginning of December?
December the 6th.
Yeah, December the 6th, and it's just that one weekend.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like a teaser. They take a couple weeks off, and then January 12th?
Through June. Yeah.
Starts the league, something like that. I think it's the weekend of January 12th. So there you go. We'll talk about all that, again, later on in whatever episode. But right now, I want to get into some Clutch or Kick, as I mentioned in the show open. This is kind of a made-up game show, not really a game show, but where,
one of our favorites.
Yeah. Where we take stories that are they're kind of breaking news, but they're also kind of like, hey, is this just the headline and we can move on, or is it going to be actual things that, you know, come to something later on? I want to start off with here, and it's actually a 2-in-1, where Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, he bought majority stake in Complexity Gaming, and then the Rangers co-owner, Neil Leibman, confirms that he is acquired the majority of Optic Gaming. Now, if that name sounds familiar, it's because that's the same guy who was part of the Houston Outlaws, right? He's the part of the reason Optic got the Houston spot to begin with. So he's kind of finally the majority owner with them. So my question to you, gentlemen, Clutch or Kick on the fact that with these owners now, right, the Robert Krafts of the world, the Jerry Jones of the world, right, Dallas Cowboys, correct me if I'm wrong, number one wealthiest sports franchise, or is Man U ahead of them?
I think it's
Cowboys are one.
I think it's Real Madrid is number one.
Were they?
One. Yeah, I think it's Real, and then
Cowboys.
And then
I know they
the Cowboys,
regardless, number one or
right
two wealthiest teams in the world. The man knows how to run a franchise. He knows how to sell people on things. How do you see this working out for esports? I'll just blanket statement esports.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
man.
Ahead.
I think it's great. Like you said, Jerry Jones of all people is
it's been rumored for a long time.
Yeah, I guess he said he's been working on it for almost 2 years now, this particular deal. He had showed some pictures, like the intro video I thought was really neat, or how the deal happened kind of video that the previous owner of Complexity made. Thought that was real neat. But yeah, I definitely think it's a plus. I think Jerry Jones is a man that knows how to promote something. He might not be the greatest general manager. But as a whole, to see these bigger sports organizations get involved, I've always been a fan of that. We've talked about this on the show before, you know, when we started talking about the 76ers and a lot of big soccer franchises. The more money that gets involved in the sport, the better it is. The more people that you have that are already successful owners, again, the better it's going to be, because these guys want to make money. That is their only prerogative. They don't care what the product is, they want to make money. So they're going to do what they can to help make it successful. Leave these guys in charge, though, right? Leave your esports people to run the organization. I think your job is just to help, you know, help for publicity, but hopefully they can let them continue to make, like, the player decision, things of that sort.
Yeah, and I'm going to be a clutch on this, too. I mean, just looking at Jerry Jones, like, Jerry Jones stepping into this entity is huge. The man is a visionary. Say what you want about him as a GM. I don't think you'll see Jerry Jones, the GM of Complexity,
you don't think?
Which would be pretty hilarious.
That would be awesome.
Right? But he's a visionary. I mean, he sees just outside the box, and he can make this into just the biggest spectacle, right? Like, you know, he was a big part of like bringing NCAA basketball games to football stadiums. I mean, it's like he sees the bigger picture. And I mean, honestly, I don't see this as a bad move at all. I'm actually excited to see what he brings to the table.
And I agree with everything you guys said there. I know one of the listeners tweeted out to me because I kind of retweeted the story. And he asked, he was like, oh, so do you think this is going to bring big signings to Complexity? And I said, you know, typically when you see, you know, teams get bought out by, like, big money, right? Oddly enough, you don't see big signings. Because it's not like Jerry Jones is like, hey, I'm going to make this giant investment. Now here's $1 million. Go buy me players. Like, they're not, yeah. They don't see it that way right now. They just see it as, like Anuj said, an investment for return on some money. Then when, yeah. You know, they start seeing the hype built up or like the following, then maybe they'll care. But it's not, they would, like Jerry Jones would literally just have to
hand
over this check.
It won't be as player focused right now. You know, right now it's going to be building the brand for them.
But I will say
this. And introducing the Jerry Jones brand to it.
If Jerry Jones could somehow get big signings to Complexity and make them relevant, then I'll trust the man that he can do anything. Like, you might have Jerry Jones money, but you're still Complexity. And I don't know,
Pete,
can money really buy you to go to that roster?
Yeah. Pete's excited, though. Peter. Like, he was tweeting. He tweeted about it a couple of times. He's like, maybe. In his head, he's got to think, well, maybe I can finally get that supporting cast.
Yeah, right.
Well, there's going to be, I think in time, you'll see that kind of come into play. Because this is competitive, right? Like, these guys want to be the best at what they do. And making money is part of it, but I, you know, there is a competitive side, especially to Jerry Jones. We know that as being from around here, like the dude wants to win ultimately. So, hopefully, we see that come into play at some point.
Not enough to close the curtains in that damn stadium, but hey, you know what?
We're getting there.
Whatever.
You know what the biggest question out of this whole thing is?
Yeah.
So, people that are from Dallas and Houston both know this. Neither of them are big fans of each other in any other sports, right? We don't root for one another generally in sports. I'd say generally, but now it's a Dallas-based organization with a Houston-based team. What do you do?
Are you talking about with the Texas
I
Rangers?
I think that's a huge.
Well, yeah. They're moving their headquarters and all that to Dallas, right? But they're Houston-based.
Yeah,
so
well,
it's a little interesting that they would do it that way.
Are you talking about Jerry Jones? Or are you
talking about the
Rangers?
No, we're talking about Rangers owner.
Okay.
Optic, right? So Optic Gaming's headquarters is in Dallas, but Outlaws are Houston.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's in Texas, and I really don't see it as that big of a deal, but...
No, it's not a big deal.
You're
making a joke. Move on from it.
To kind of go off that Jerry Jones thing, did you read about, and our listeners probably don't know what we're talking about, but the Cowboys, they have this huge practice facility called the Star. It's like a high-tech mecca for just, like, practicing
everything.
And football. They're going to be, from what I read, they're going to end up moving the teams into that, you know, Star complex.
Team headquarters.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's big because that place is amazing. It's awesome.
Now, speaking of Dallas teams here, you have Dallas Fuel actually is the first Overwatch League team to sell a jersey sponsor. So they are partnering up with Jack in the Box now to have their logo on their jersey. Now, if it's anything like what they tweeted out, I want to kick this thing as far away as I can because I hate it. Now, I'm going to clutch it, though, because I really do think that's where the logo placement's going to be for the jersey. And if that's the case, then people definitely need to keep an eye on it with other teams. And for the love of God, make your voices heard that, like, look, I don't care about jersey sponsors, right? You want to make money, right? But don't have you guys seen where the placement is at for this thing?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. No. I saw the tweet. It's
literally like Anuj, if you haven't seen it.
I haven't.
So like take I don't know, it's like right in the middle of your chest, right under over where like the Dallas Fuel logo will be on the jersey. And
oh,
it just looks
side by side.
It looks awful because their jerseys are blue and Jack in the Box is red, so it just stands out. It's honestly, you see this tiny Jack in the Box logo before you even see the Dallas Fuel.
Well, ultimately, I'll clutch it. I think it's important that they have these big sponsors. Hasbro said that they spent about, $30 million of total investment to get this up and running, so... these guys are going to need some sponsorship money. They want to make their money back. I think it's cool to see big sponsors be involved. I think with anything, though, sponsors just don't want to miss out on an opportunity, right? They see an opportunity. Mm-hmm. They want to jump in and get in early. It's probably cheaper now than it would be if it, obviously the scene blew up even more than it does. It's just, do these sponsors stick around, right? The scene needs to be successful now for these sponsors to be there long-term and get long-term investment on it. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. No harm. Placement, I would say, I'm looking for that. That does suck.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. I'm clutching it for different reasons. I'm clutching it in fear that everyone always has of jersey sponsors, and it's that they get too distracted. Like, they're too distracted.
Put them on the back like they normally do.
Or on the sleeves. Or literally any other place than where they put it.
All right. So I'm actually a clutch on this. And for listeners of the show, I actually just posted it in our I know we're not live or anything, but you can go and find it on our Discord. I just posted it. But I'm a clutch because it's so small. And we just actually got a reaction out of a bus. He's in our Discord, of the white jersey's nice. Like, he didn't even talk about the logo because it's so small and it's right above the fuel on the jersey that you really don't really even notice it that much.
You don't notice the big red dot? And, like, I'm Indian, so red dots to me can be offensive here.
Of course I notice it.
But, I mean, it's big.
But I don't look at it as, like, I don't see it as tacky. I mean, it would just be like a Nike logo in the middle of a jersey on, like, a Dallas Cowboy. You know, it's like, I don't know. If it was huge, and I mean, we just saw this in the World Cup, that big omen on their shirt. Like,
well, I'm not saying that was any better, like, but even then, that looked less intrusive than this.
I guess it's because it just doesn't blow into it.
It's just the redness. That's it. Just get rid of it. Where will this madness stop?
Make a blue.
Where will this madness stop? And then getting on to one last clutch or kick here, because Brett was wrong on that one, so he instantly loses the game.
I'll be wrong on this.
Yep. Anuj gets the point. Anuj gets the point.
You can have it. I concede.
You have Flipside Tactics is finally transferring Electronic to Na'Vi, and am I reading this correctly? Flipside added Seized, correct?
Yeah.
The headline in the story was written kind of weird. Yeah. All right. So they added Seized. And Na'Vi is finally getting Electronic. Clutch or kick, does this change anything for Na'Vi going forward?
Go ahead, Nush.
Not everyone at once.
Oh. All right. No, sorry. I thought I was going. I definitely... Two things here. I clutch it. It's a good move. Okay, Seize was performing badly. A move needed to happen. You have Simple, who, as of right now, as it stands, Simple is number one in ESL Pro League in player rating for the last place team. They are plus two in round for, again, the last place team. So I don't feel like they are just a garbage team who have nowhere to go. Like, they have the one of – I think we forget a little bit that Simple is one of the top 2-3 players in the world. He's right up there with Cole Zira, right up there with Nico. I mean, he's carried teams far in. So I think this is going to be, more importantly, a reflection on Zeus now. I don't think Zeus has any excuse, especially after – the big change going from a team that just made it to the finals of a major, you know, to go help out Na'Vi, your former team that lets you go. So now he's got all the pieces. This move has been speculated for ages. I think they have a lot of pressure, but I feel like with Electronic's firepower, you know, this is going to be a good team.
Yeah, and I'll clutch the move of bringing in Electronic to replace Seize. I think overall he's going to be a better addition, but I'm going to kick that it's just going to just put them over any sort of hump. There's something going wrong with that team. And, you know, we talked about this when Zeus was in Gambit and he made that original move. You know, there was a lot of talk of he's just this, you know, this, you know, awesome leader, and he's just going to make Na'Vi better right away. And more to my point, when they won the major, I feel like he wasn't the reason. Like, I feel like players like Hobbit, you know, and you know, a few other players, you know, Adrian, they were the carry, you know, they were the carries on that major winning team. So I didn't really see it as a big deal to begin with. But so I'm clutching the move of Electronic switching to Na'Vi, but I'm kicking that it's gonna just put them over any sort of hump, because there's more going on than just that one move, right?
real quick to that point, like, Zeus's job is never was never to carry, right? Even when it came to Gambit, he was a big name player, but he wasn't the firepower on the team. His job is to put his best players in position to do well, and that was the point of him coming back to.
But it's not really translating to Na'Vi, right?
Not right now, but so when we say, like, oh, you know, there was something wrong with the team, I think that something wrong was Seize. So, you know, what more do you do besides make roster changes to fix what you see as a potential problem? So this has to work now, right? Like, I mean, they don't have any choice. If this doesn't, this is like a you know,
they're,
much bigger
they're,
problem.
They're in Fnatic territory.
It's a blow-up in the making.
They're in, yeah, they're in old Fnatic territory if this doesn't work out.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You've already seen Guardian leave and then have his exit. But now, I mean, now they really have to make this work. They invested a lot of money. I don't know what the buyout was, but there's rumors that this was, you know, getting into $500,000 territory type thing.
Really?
So that and I, you know, maybe it ended up significantly less. That's just why it felt like it took so long, and that's what was mentioned. But yeah, this really needs to work out, and I think they can pull through again. Simple is still one of the best players in the world. You set him up with another firepower type guy. Edward can finally step up. These guys will be in good shape.
Yeah, CS is a lot more fun when Na'Vi is relevant, you know, like BP. But yeah, I'm not optimistic. We'll see though.
What was the defining moment of the major too? Is when it was Astralis versus Gambit, and Zeus called that timeout and had that little speech with the team, and they, you know, came back and pulled through on a victory on that map. So the guy has shown proven leadership, and he's been good in the game. And he's a good enough firepower to also, you know, contribute in other ways just besides calling.
And Anuj, I know you cover, you know, Counter-Strike, you know, more than we do, but did they even like him, Gambit? I mean, was he like that rah-rah guy, and they were just like, yeah, all right, yeah.
They didn't seem overly disappointed that he left, but at the same time, he carried him to heights they've never been before, right? They've had that roster for a while, and Zeus was really the biggest change that had taken place. And the only one with big game experience, right? He had come from being second place, what, several times in huge events. Some of them, I think, being, you know, majors for that matter when he was on Na'Vi. They were known as that team that just couldn't get over the hump, right? And so to carry Gambit to that, he has a lot of credibility behind him. I think he's proven himself, especially with getting that major. It's like getting a Super Bowl, man. You have that ring, you know, you have a lot of, you know, power in that sense. So I think he'll make it work out. I really hope they do. I like the lineup. I like the team. I love Simple. So they have all the tools there. Electronic is just another piece of that puzzle. And now they just got to step up.
Yep.
Well, congratulations, Anuj. You just won Clutch or Kick. It's a huge, huge honor.
I'm so happy.
We should like keep tabs like they do in Around the Horn.
No, we're not going to be like any other show.
I want to just give you a round of applause.
Thank you.
The crowd is chanting your name. They're just chanting your name right now.
Oh, gosh.
Let's get into some e-news.
That will forever live and just show
really awesome, man.
That's exactly how you say your name, too. Getting into some e-news, we actually have a lot of stories today to get into e-news here. Rocket League, we're going to talk about this next week, but Rocket League World, or Rocket League Championship, that's the word I'm looking for, Series Season 4 starts next week, and actually in 2 days, to be exact. One of our listeners actually emailed me like a full rundown on how this works and everything like that, because like episode 50 he said he listened to, and I was complaining that Rocket League doesn't advertise enough for their, you know, pro scene. And I've actually turned around on Rocket League. I think it's awesome. I love watching their pro scene. So their finals are coming up this weekend, so we're definitely going to watch that. In Smash, of course, last week was Smash Summit 5, best esport event of the year, or at least one of them, definitely in my top five. You had HBox beat Armada, hence him opening up the show today. Took him 3-2 in the finals. Armada could not reset the bracket. Came down to the wire. It was one stock left for each. And HBox had his signature crying moment after winning a tournament.
He is a crier, man.
He is, man.
So awkward.
The guy just...
you could just tell, like, the people in the room were so uncomfortable. Like, I was just looking in the background, and people were like, yeah, man, it's awesome for you. you're
good,
crying in a room with
good
a bunch
for him.
Of grown men.
Armada...
Somebody else was crying this week, too, right?
You're talking about Faker, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you did have. You did have Faker was crying. Some people called it fake, but that brings me to my next. Oh no! Do you guys hear that?
Oh jeez! Take cover.
Is everything okay?
North Korea is
attacking. Is that? Boys. Oh no! It is the League of Legends alarm. Oh god, we are bringing up League of Legends. Sound the alarm. Everything is okay. No one panic. We'll get through this together.
Is it another pick?
And I make a jest because this is episode 81. And I'm not going to lie. I think this is legit like the second time ever that we're bringing up League of Legends on the show. And the first time we ever brought it up was because a pro had a penis pic leaked out on the internet. Like someone was trying to blackmail him or something like that. And that's the only other time I remember bringing up League of Legends.
You were doing that you know, hard...
That hard, hard research on trying to finding this man's penis, which I never did. Never could find...
I'll take you down a bad trip to the dark web.
Never could find that pro's genitalia picture. But
we have to... Over under 50 pictures of junk did you look at that day?
Hey, over.
I've told you. I don't shy away. You know? If it's a celebrity... Seeing a celebrity's penis is not against any rule. Alright? And if you think you're above looking at a celebrity naked, shame on you. Because you're not. You're not. Getting back to League of Legends, though. Again, we don't follow League. If you've listened to the show, you definitely know we don't ever bring up League. But it was their world's championship, so let's throw them a bone. Samsung Galaxy ended up defeating SKT 3-0 in the worlds.
Another Korean team?
Yes, yep, another Korean team. Actually, another Korean final. This was played at the Bird's Nest in China, of course. If you are familiar with that, that is where they held their Olympics. Looks like a bird's nest, hence the name. And man,
wasn't
I don't
that
know.
Arena pretty damn full,
dude? They had it. I want to say a little over halfway the way they arranged the stage. So maybe 70%, maybe 60% of the arena where you could actually sit, and that thing was sold out. It looked like that was amazing.
Did any of y'all see the presentation, like the augmented reality?
Yes,
stuff
with the
that
dragons
did?
Flying. Man,
yeah,
I told
that was
you
incredible,
what.
Dude.
I don't like League of Legends. I don't get it. Okay, I can't say much because I watch Dota, and yes, I understand it's basically the same thing. Whatever.
That was some of the most badass like intros that I've seen.
Don't at me. I don't care. But they do know how to put on a show, that's for sure. Now, there were reports, I saw this while looking up stuff for the show, that this was the first time in history where an esports broke 1 million viewers online, where it peaked 100. At 106 million viewers.
They view-bought it online?
No,
you
want to know this number here? You take away,
fans.
Take away the Chinese viewers, okay? You have 106 million. Guess, just, I'll give you each one guess. What is it without Chinese viewers?
Okay, I looked at show notes, so I can't.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't see it.
All right. I forgot you guys also look at show notes. Okay, so it was 2 million. 2 million was the actual viewership if you took away the Chinese viewing.
Still albeit, a crazy number, though.
Albeit, yeah. I'm sure there were, because, I mean, they're, you know, Chinese teams. There were big Chinese teams there. It was in China. So, I'm sure there were a lot of Chinese viewership. But 104 million
did not watch it.
You're
though.
Telling me 104 million was the difference there? Like, come on, dude. Why?
Yeah,
why do we
no,
report
it,
these numbers? Like,
is it like a, you know, like North Korea during the world? I think it was like the World Cup. They had the Chinese actors come in and cheer for North Korea.
Yes.
Is it like that?
It's exactly like that, dude. It's like, first off, this is bad enough when the tournament's not in China. right? But then you're going to put the tournament in China. You best believe they're going to break the record, okay?
They were all dummies in the stands.
Dude, it's
very Trump of you, China. God.
When are we going to stop just looking at these numbers? I understand there are others. I understand in like foreign countries and everything, there's other ways to watch games other than Twitch. But I think if we just all use Twitch as like the measuring stick, right? Like just use that as the base. Okay, what was the viewership like on Twitch? And if you just use that, comparing it all, right? You have the same base. You have your same control. Yeah, you have a control when you're looking at it. So. I don't know, dude.
Can we get rid of YouTube Gaming?
Oh my god, could we ever? Don't even.
Unless you're willing to sponsor us YouTube Gaming.
Unless you need an official esports show, man. Awesome, then you let us know, intuitive. YouTube Gaming. I love it.
Yeah, I can just find anything on
I
that.
I love
that
it.
Site. It's a hate.
And, you know, I don't want to end the show on this, but just with the way it works, I have to. There's very sad news that actually broke kind of right before we started recording, a little bit before. And that is where. Internet Hulk of Overwatch, formerly of Team Envious. He played on, you know, Team Germany in the World Cup of 2016. He was coach of Team Liquid. Passed away today, very unexpectedly. He was 29, 30 years old. Actually, just a couple days ago, November 2nd, he tweeted out before BlizzCon, "I'm lying in bed. After only a few hours of sleep, and I feel sick. Please don't let me get sick the day of BlizzCon. Later that day, I'm sick. Feels BlizzCon, man. Feels bad, man." And then on November 3rd, "Can I still give away my BlizzCon tickets?" Basically saying, "I can't make it. I'm sick." And from there, you know, normal tweets just saying, you know, man, this tournament's crazy stuff. Talking about BlizzCon. Talking about the World Cup. And then later today, Liquid and Envious both tweeted out, you know, he passed away.
Too young.
That's crazy, man.
30 years old. And yeah. I mean, it kind of hits a little bit home for us. I mean, he had a big, you know, he was a big part of putting that Dallas roster together. So
I think
he was just a legend. Like the players talk very, very highly of him.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if you're a fan of Overwatch, right? He was there from the beginning. Yeah. He played those early
support.
Early competitive things. He was support, known for his Winston play. You know, as I mentioned, he was on Team Germany, Team Envious, when Team Envious was dominating,
really
right?
Good.
That's when they moved over to USA, and everyone was blown away that, you know, European team just moved to the States and everything there.
He just had his hand in so much, like, in, like, four different esports, right? Like,
What he did for Overwatch early on, I don't think it sucks, right? It's what happens. It's natural to praise someone for their achievements after they've moved on, right? That's just human nature. We now take the time to appreciate it all, but it's something that should have honestly happened when he was around. Not like anyone could have guessed that, you know, him tweeting out, "Man, I don't feel good. I can't go to BlizzCon," would result in this. But I don't think anyone can downplay, you know, his footprint on the competitive Overwatch scene. And I'm sure come, you know, preseason, you're going to see Blizzard and the Overwatch League do something special. They have to.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers with this family, man. Anytime it's somebody that young, it's devastating.
That is the Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR. AKA your favorite esports podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg. That's about it. You can find all our stuff there. Of course, we do have a Discord. We're active in there, unless you're a nuge and for some reason you like Mumble. But
this is true.
He might make an appearance. He might grace our Discord with his presence, but.
Look, if you fans are in there, I'll come. If any of the listeners are fans, any listeners are in there, whether you hate us or not, I'll come. I'll come chat with you.
That's right. On our website, you can email all of us. There's a little contact feature there. It goes to an inbox we all have access to. So if you want to tell me how great I did, but how awful Anuj and Brett was, you can certainly do that. Until then, we'll be back next week, episode 82. We are definitely going to talk the Rocket League finals and whatever other esports drama happens. But until then, for Anuj and Brett, I am Tim. This is TCR, and we'll see you later.